Well, good morning once again, Grace Powell Church. Thanks again for worshiping with us online. And I want to thank Pastor Bob and the worship team for leading us in worship this morning. Well, today we are beginning a new series in the book of Revelation, and I know many of you are really excited about that. So hopefully you have your Bible. Turn with me to chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 1. But before we do anything, let's pray. Let's ask God's blessing on today's message. Father God, thank you so much for the privilege we have to open up your word. Thank you, Father, that you want to speak to us. You want to reveal truth to us. You want to challenge us. And Lord, I pray that this morning would be not just encouraging, but challenging to us. I pray, Father, we would be and look more like Jesus Christ. And it's his name we pray. Amen. Well, let's talk about the book of Revelation. I think for a lot of us, we are really fascinated with the future. Many people in our world today, they will go to super extremes to learn about their future. They'll go look at horoscopes, they'll go do fortune telling, they'll look at certain cards, they'll look at stars, they'll do all kinds of things just to get some sort of a hint about their future. But I want to just remind you just for a moment that truly only God knows about our future. And he's given us a future recorded in his word. One of my favorite movies is the movie Back to the Future. I love that trilogy. And the whole premise of this is that Biff, the villain, he goes back into time and he gives an almanac to his younger self. And the idea is that his younger self would take this almanac, a prediction of all the sports scores in the future, and strike it rich. Well, in the same way, do you know that God has given us a book? He's given us the book of Revelation so that we can live confidently today knowing what's going to happen in the future. All we have to do is read it. All we have to do is understand it. All we have to do is apply it to our life. And so if you have your Bible, Revelation chapter 1, we're going to look at the first 8 verses this morning. Here's what the Bible says. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to servant John, who testifies to everything he saw that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the 7 churches in Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the 7 spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples on the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. And then finally, verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This morning, what I want to do is I want to ask this question. Why was Revelation written? And this morning's message is designed to be an introduction. We're going to spend many weeks in the book of Revelation. We're going to try to learn what God is trying to reveal to us. But this morning, I find it's very important that we understand why the book was written. And believe it or not, I'm going to give you 9 reasons. Some of these we're going to fly through. Others of them we're going to camp on for a few moments. But I want to encourage you to take out a pen, a pencil, a piece of paper, and jot down why the book of Revelation was written. So here we go. Number 1, it was written not to conceal truth, but to reveal truth. Now, for a lot of people, the reason we don't study the book of Revelation is because we assume that it's too confusing or too hard to understand. Now, granted, there's a lot of symbols. There's a lot of imagery, there's a lot of pictures, right? And sometimes it can become confusing, but God never designed the book of Revelation to be confusing. He didn't design it to be obscure. He designed for the book to be open so that we could understand what his truth is as it relates to the future. Matter of fact, the word revelation, it actually comes from this Greek word where we get our English word apocalypse. And for a lot of us, when we hear that word apocalypse, we think of something like, you know, the present day TV shows or the movies where there's like a zombie apocalypse. But that's not what that word means. The word apocalypse, it means to uncover. It means to unveil. It means to disclose. The idea here is to pull back the curtain. And what God is doing in the book of Revelation is he's revealing something to us. He's literally pulling back a curtain like we're getting ready to watch a drama unfold. The actors are in place. The characters are in place. We're about ready to see another part of the story of God's redemptive history unfold right before our eyes. And the curtain is going to be pulled back. My mind goes to the famous movie of The Wizard of Oz and that famous scene where, you know, Dorothy and her little dog are there and they're at the wizard's place and the dog goes over and pulls back the curtain and reveals that this mighty wizard is nothing but an ordinary man. And the point is, in this illustration, God is getting ready to pull back the curtain. He's going to show us something that is not ordinary, by the way, but absolutely extraordinary. And so I just want to point out that God has never desired for us not to know about the future. In his infinite plan, in his infinite wisdom, he has always planned to reveal to us what will happen in the future. He wants us to know the future events. So understand, Revelation, unlike popular opinion, is not obscure. It's open. It's not confusing. It's clear. It's not concealed truth. It's revealed truth. Second thing I want to talk about is number two, it's not to show judgments, but to show Jesus. In the book of Revelation, you're going to learn and we're going to discover together that chapter 6 all the way through chapter 19 is actually about judgments. But the reason God wrote Revelation, the reason he wants us to discover Revelation, is not so that we can learn about these judgments, but so that we can learn more about Jesus. Again, go back to verse 1. It says, the revelation from Jesus Christ. Do you know that obviously John, he's the human author. He wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, those epistles. And he's also the author here of Revelation. But he received this revelation, this unveiling from Jesus, and it's also about Jesus. In verse 5, he adds, when he's greeting the churches in Asia, he adds this comment. He says, it's from Jesus Christ who is the faithful witness. Jesus is truth. He's the firstborn from the dead. He's preeminent. He's the ruler of the kings and the earth. And I love this because in the Gospel of John, and in the first three epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, John presents Jesus differently than the way he portrays Jesus in the book of Revelation. Let me show you this on a chart. In the first advent, we know that Jesus, he came very humble. He put on human flesh. He was born in a manger. He was born basically in a barn. He didn't come as a king. He came very humbly as a baby. In the second time, or the second advent, the second coming of Jesus Christ, John is revealing to us that Jesus is coming exalted. The first time we learned that he came as a lamb, John actually says, look, behold, there's Jesus, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. But now in the book of Revelation, we are being unveiled, or we are learning specifically that Jesus is coming as a lion. The first time Jesus came, he came as a suffering servant. The second time he comes, he will be coming as a conquering king. So understand that Revelation is written to reveal to us who Jesus is. Not only is he the suffering servant, but he's also the conquering king. And the book of Revelation shows that. One of the famous pastors, his name, last name is Criswell. He was a pastor in Dallas. And he points out that Jesus was 100% God and at the same time 100% man. But when he came to this earth the first time, his deity was covered up by his humanity. Now, don't get me wrong, his deity would shine through every once in a while, specifically when we learn about the transfiguration. We learn that Jesus is God, right? But when Jesus comes back the second time, we will know that he is God. He will come back victorious. There's a third reason Revelation was written, not just to conceal, but to reveal truth, not just to show judgment, but to show Jesus. But number three, we learn in this passage that Jesus came not for the sinner or the unbeliever, but for the servant. Look at what John says. He says, the revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. And what I want you to understand is a lot of times people think that Revelation was written to warn sinners. And it was. Don't get me wrong. Revelation is a warning to sinners. But please understand, the purpose of this book was written to you and I who are servants of Christ, to you and I who are followers of Jesus. And he wrote it to warn us. To warn us to live our lives the way that we should, to encourage us to be the witnesses of Jesus Christ that we should be, to warn us to live godly, to warn us to live as salt, to live as light, to warn us that time is short. And so the whole emphasis of the book of Revelation is for the saint, to prepare us for the last days. Number four, Revelation was written not as a puzzle, but with pictures. Now, let me try to help you understand this. One of the things that I love participating in is puzzles. And I call me old, whatever, but I enjoy puzzles, especially at Christmas time. And I always get 1,000-piece puzzles. And when you first get those puzzle pieces, you put them out and you spread them out all over your huge dining room table, right? And you're looking at all the different pieces. You're trying to find the corners, you're trying to find the straight edges, right? But when you're putting a puzzle together, it's like it's a problem to solve. And you're looking at the piece and you're thinking to yourself, I wonder if this piece will fit here. I wonder if this piece, no, that doesn't fit there. It fits there. And part of the fun for me with puzzles is trying to solve the problem, right? Trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together. But did you know that that's not why God gave us the book of Revelation? Sometimes we think that God gave us little snippets of the future so that we can kind of piece them all together and kind of be smarter than the next guy. Do you know that many theologians, many Bible students have spent years, their lifetime trying to piece together? But here's the point. God didn't give Revelation as a puzzle to solve. He gave it as pictures to see. John, the human author, it says he testified to everything he saw. He saw things that were undescribable, and he did his best to describe them. And I want you to understand that Revelation gives us pictures, and we will try our best to piece some of these together. But it's not about trying to work in your special theory, or it's not about trying to unlock some secret code. God gave us his word. He gave us pictures so that we don't miss the obvious. And I want to encourage you, as we go through this study, don't turn into that person that tries to fit every little thing into a perfect, pretty little picture. Understand that God has major themes and he has a main idea. And don't miss the main idea. And so what I want to do right now is I want to kind of show you a picture of the main idea. In order for that to happen, I have to get a whiteboard. So bear with me just for a moment, and you'll see a whiteboard appear here literally in 1 second. Well, as promised, look at that. Here is a whiteboard. I want to show you a little bit of the picture that's revealed to us about the future events in the book of Revelation. Again, we're not considering the book of Revelation a puzzle piece that we have to figure out. We're just going to go through the book of Revelation and try to get to see the picture that God is trying to communicate to us. So you're going to have to bear with me. Obviously, I am not an artist. I am a pastor, but we're going to start right here with a cross, okay? And obviously, the cross here, it represents the death of Jesus. We know that Jesus, he lived on this earth for 33 years. He was crucified for our sin. He took our punishment upon himself. And then after he died, the Bible says he went into the grave. 3 days later, he resurrected. He came back to life. He not only defeated sin on the cross, but he defeated death in the grave. And after he resurrected, he was on the earth for 40 days before he ascended and now is at the right hand of the Father. Now, on day 50, okay, so day 40, he ascended. On day 50, the Holy Spirit of God came. And this is when the church began. And so what I want you to understand, and if you're writing this down, and again, I apologize that this is small or sloppy, but the period of time that we're in right now is the church age. This is currently where we are at. I don't know if 2020 is here or if 2020 is at the end of the church age. Maybe we're still in the beginning. I have no idea. It does appear like time is near to the day of the Lord. It does look like certain signs are pointing to the point when Christ comes back. But this is the church age. This is called the age of grace. The next thing that's going to happen in the prophetic calendar, again, as we study the book of Revelation, is what I am signifying here, a rapture, okay? The rapture. And this is also explained in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to look at this a little bit in the book of Revelation. And so at some point, the trumpet's going to sound. Jesus is going to return and he is going to rapture his church. Now, on the earth, okay, there is a tribulation. It's a 7-year tribulation, okay? So I'll put 7 years here. It's a 7-year tribulation. Many of you know that the 7-year tribulation is split in half. We're going to talk about that. Again, Revelation talks a lot about the tribulation, but after the 7-year tribulation, what happens then? Okay, so this is on the earth, tribulation. The next event that takes place, the next picture that we get to see is called the second coming of Jesus. Now, we talked about this earlier. We talked about the second advent, the first time Jesus came as a baby, right? But the second time he's coming as a king. The battle of Armageddon is going to happen at the very end of the tribulation. Jesus is going to return all the way to the earth. That's called the second coming. And then he's going to set up his 1,000-year millennium. And I'm going to abbreviate, but that's the 1,000-year millennium where he rules and reigns, where there is peace and there's perfect justice. And he proves once and for all that he's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. Now, after the 1,000-year millennium, we learn that there is a judgment that takes place. And I'm going to abbreviate it. It's the Great White Throne Judgment. GWTJ, the Great White Throne Judgment. This is where everybody is brought before the throne of God, and he determines who will live forever with God and who will live forever in eternal separation from God, which is ultimately the lake of fire. The Bible says in Revelation, whoever's name is not found written in the Lamb's book of life will be cast to the lake of fire. And then the final event that we learn in the book of Revelation, the final picture, if you will, is the new heaven, that's what those arrows represent, and a new earth. So again, going back to my fourth point, I want you to see this and I want you to understand this. We don't have to guess a lot And we don't have to go to all these different pieces. We can just see the picture that John is giving us based on the vision that Jesus gave him. And so if this is helpful, you can write this down. When we go through this series, and I got to find a marker that works, I apologize. We have to go and look first at Revelation 2 and 3. We're going to learn something about seven churches in this sermon series. Next, we're going to learn that the rapture takes place, and we're going to look specifically at Revelation 4 and 5 and learn some things about not only the rapture, but the heaven, seen in heaven, the throne of God. The tribulation, we're going to see in Revelation 6 all the way through 18. The second coming right here will be Revelation 19. The millennium, where Jesus rules and reigns on the earth, will be seen in Revelation 20. And then the new heaven and new earth will be seen in Revelation 21 and 22. And so my point of sharing this with you is there is a lot of interpretations of the book of Revelation, but this is how I'm going to teach it as we go through this series. We're going to work our way through Revelation, and we're going to get pictures of what these different things are, and we'll do our best to not only understand them, but apply them to our life. And so, give me another second here, and let me get rid of my whiteboard, and we'll go back to the fifth point. And so, let's look at the fifth reason Revelation was written. Number five, it was written not to educate, but to encourage. Now, don't get me wrong. I hope that you and I, we receive an education. But please understand, the purpose of the book of Revelation is not just to fill our head with an education. Revelation was written to, ready for this, to fill our life with an expectation. Okay, this is not about some academic exercise. This is about application to our life. The book of Revelation is really a book of application. And he's encouraging us to live out the truth. Matter of fact, check out what John says. He says, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because time is near. Do you know that simply by reading this book, by listening to this book, by applying this book, we are guaranteed and promised a blessing? But understand, you will be blessed, I will be blessed, not just from reading it, not just from hearing it, but from taking it to heart. This means by obeying it. It means to apply the truth and the principles to our life. And so understand, Revelation isn't just so supposed to be some sort of a lesson that we learn. It's really supposed to be a lifestyle that we live. He gives us this truth to motivate us, to encourage us to live the life that God has called us to live. Number six, Revelation was written not so that we procrastinate, but so that we prepare. Notice what he says again in verse 3. He says, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it. Now look what he says here, because the time is near. This word time here, it doesn't mean the way we typically understand the word time. It doesn't mean like a clock. It doesn't refer to a clock. It doesn't refer to the watch that's on my wrist. It doesn't refer to a calendar. What it means here is time is talking about a new era. And what he is saying is saying, listen, it is time, okay, for a new era, okay? It is time for God's prophetic calendar, God's prophetic timetable, to happen very quickly, very soon, right? Everything is fulfilled. Everything is set. It's time for that drama, if you will, to unfold. The curtain's about ready to be opened. And again, as I showed you earlier, we're looking as a church for the rapture, right? We're looking for the time when the trumpet sounds and there's a shout and Jesus comes and he meets us in the clouds. That time, that era, that new phase, if you will, of redemptive history is about to happen. And so we are given this not so that we live in procrastination. It's about being prepared. It's about recognizing that Jesus could return at any moment and making sure that I am ready and making sure that others in my life are ready. That means I need to live my life in godliness. I need to live my life with a holy expectation, but I also need to be prepared and share Jesus with as many people as possible. Number 7, Revelation was written not so that you and I would worry, but so that you and I would worship. And by the way, may I add that the last 3 that we're going to share are all application for this message this morning. A lot of times what I hear is when people talk about Revelation and they read about the different judgments, and you're going to talk about things of seals and trumpets and bowls, and you're going to hear about God's wrath and as it pours out upon this earth and as it judges sin, and then you're going to hear about the lake of fire, and you're going to learn about all these different images and really some strange, undescribable symbols which are just very hard to even comprehend. In some respects, it's like watching some horror movie, Revelation, as it's unfolding. And people, when they go through the book of Revelation, a lot of times they tend to worry. But did you know that this book was written so that you and I would worship? So that we would understand who is and who was and who is to come. That we would understand who Jesus is and have a healthy respect and fear for this holy God who has called us to himself to be part of his family. And that like John, when he was in the presence of Jesus, which you'll see next week, falls to the ground, falls like a dead man out of respect. He worships. You and I would respond the same way, that we wouldn't worry. Why would we worry? We're on Jesus's side. We are in Christ, if we know him. So we don't worry about the future. We worship him because of who he is and what he has done. The Bible says, to him be the glory. Jesus, to Jesus be the glory and the power forever and ever. Number 8, Revelation was written not to fear, but to have faith. Look at what it says. Look, he is coming. You see, you and I who know Jesus Christ, we don't have to fear his coming. We have faith. We are looking forward to his coming. And look what's going to happen. Every eye will see him. Those who pierced him, they'll see that. All the people on the earth who don't know Jesus, they're not going to be excited about his coming. They're going to mourn because of him. But you and I who know Jesus, we look forward to his coming in faith. We don't fear it. We say, so shall it be. Amen. We are looking forward to that day when Jesus returns. And then finally, number 9, Revelation was written not so that you and I, we live in defeat, but so that we live in victory. I love verse 8. It says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Listen, church, I just want to encourage you that if you know Jesus Christ, you win. You win. You know why you win? It's because God wins, right? Satan loses. Sin is defeated. Sickness is gone. Sorrow gone. Righteousness prevails. Christ is preeminent. Jesus wins, and those who are in Jesus, we also win. We can live our lives not in discouragement, not in depression, not with a doom and gloom. We can live our lives now, here, today, victorious. All right, I want you to think about this. The Big Ten, as you know, is back up and going, and we're going to see football here in a couple of weeks, right? And I don't know about you, but I've been watching all these classic games and games from previous years. But here's the thing. I can simply know who's going to win that game. And as I watch that game, even though if I didn't watch it live years ago, I know the outcome of that game. So I don't have to worry. I don't have to be discouraged. I can watch my team prevail at the end. In the same way, that's why the book of Revelation was given. As we go through life, there's so many things in this earth that will discourage us. But my friends, look at the end. Look at the final word of Christ. We win. We do not lose because Christ wins. And we are on his team, the winning side. And so I want to encourage you as we go through this book of Revelation, don't worry, worship. Don't fear, have faith. And don't live in defeat, live in victory. I look forward to this incredible series. I hope that these 9 principles encouraged you. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's not a better time to put your faith and trust in him. The Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. If you've never put your faith in Jesus, make that decision today. Trust him as your Lord and Savior. He will forgive you. He will give you a new start. And by simply putting your faith in him, he'll give you the gift of eternal life. For those of you who already know Jesus, let's worship him during this series. Let's live in faith during this series, and let's live victorious in this series. Can I close our time in prayer? Father God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the privilege we've had to study your word. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to encourage us and teach us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.